Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine atmosphere, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Ippy Iry, Ippy Grand, Ippy Slappy. I don't know what the next part of it goes, but it's going that way, and it's going left, it's going right, it's going up, it's going down. It's Wednesday, yo. Hey, chat room. I have a different guest for you today on the old After Rotten show. Jazzy couldn't make it today. She had something to do. I don't know what it was. I'm not even going to speculate, because speculating, you know what speculating leads to? What does speculating lead to, EW?
A spectacle of yourself?
Spectaculations, yes.
I knew it was something like that.
Yes, and ocular degenerative stuff, too. I was going to put another word in there, but I couldn't remember which word that I wanted to go with it that worked with it.
In zombies, that's a bad thing.
No, we don't need to. Actually, I don't get this. Everybody seems to think that the whole zombie thing is about sight. They can't see jack. One of the first things that decays on the body is actually the ocular sockets, because it relies on so much fluids.
The fluids aren't flowing. That's a good point.
Yeah, yeah. The eyes actually fade. That's why when they always show you the zombie pictures, they always got those gray sunken in eyes, or they have no eyes. It's because that's the first shit to go. The brain, the blood, the heart, the pulmonary valves, the eyes require a lot of blood going through it all the time.
So similar functions as a T-Rex.
Yeah. But the T-Rex doesn't see things clearly. It sees things moving. See, that's how the T-Rex actually hunts. Most of the dinosaurs, the big dinosaurs with the big heads... Velociraptors were not the same, but they had actual true binocular vision, or whatever I think, because they were like the precursors of birds and stuff like this.
Right.
But the bigger dinosaurs, they didn't actually see something, they saw something move. And if it moved, it meant lunch.
Because
anything that moved, obviously, was creature. Creature, therefore, meant lunch. If it didn't move, oh, that must be a plant. I don't eat plants. So that's where it got its whole... hunting techniques from was that way.
Interesting. I got a theory. I'm going to say my theory because I know she was short on duct tape.
Heh.
And I think what it is, we finally got the chance to duct tape her to a chair and make her start watching all the horror movies in the world.
Oh, dude. Do you know how many horror movies there are according to IMDb?
Quite a bit.
It's over 17,000. And then it breaks down into subgenres like you wouldn't believe. All kinds of subgenres.
And I've still got some to still play catch up on, but I'm almost up there.
Uh-huh.
Almost.
I know I'm nowhere near having seen half of them. And I have watched a lot of horror movies. And I'm talking anything from like the 50s horror sci-fi stuff. It's like, that's not really horror. That's more sci-fi. But it's on the list too. And I know I haven't seen half of them.
Well, most of those, I love classic movies, but most of those were, that was the horror of their time.
Well, yeah, look at the movies like Them, Them was a favorite movie of mine. The Big Ants, yeah, love Big Ants. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, that's another one. That goes on my list, too.
The list is growing.
Yep. So, tonight we are talking about the end of the world. And I have a list, and I watch a lot of movies, I read a lot of books, I read a lot of comic books, and I write some stuff, too. I don't know what Jack's talking about with that, but we'll let him continue on his merry sort of thing that way. So I broke this up into four different categories. So we'll talk about these categories, and these categories to... go off on the top are natural, man-made, supernatural, or extraplanetary. Extraplanetary, of course, meaning anything that's like, oh, that didn't originate here, but wacky, that comes from some other place. Mm. So, We'll start with Natural, because Natural is the one that most people can actually identify with. So, one of the biggest things, and actually, before I go there, I didn't even mention zombies anywhere. See, that's the thing. Where do you mention zombies? And I'm going to start with zombies because I could pinpoint the zombie phenomenon in any one of those four categories by one method or another. And it has been done in movies and books and everything else in various ways.
You on that. I can understand three, maybe, but one of them, no.
Which one?
Natural.
Natural. Okay. So, there are... Sure it can. Dinosaurs. Your argument is invalid.
Really?
No, I would agree with you. They're natural. If we were to accept today's modern science, probably not. However, if it was... Well, okay. Now I'm going to take it back. Yes, I say there is a natural. Haitian zombie voodoo.
See, I was just thinking that too.
But it's not an apocalypse end of the world phenomenon. That's a just the Booker makes a zombie, or two, or three, or four, or 100, or however many he wants. They are not infectious. They do not go around making more zombies.
Right.
So, technically, not an end of the world scenario. However, zombies could be positioned in there because, I don't know, they have the extract of whatever fish thingy and say, hey, poison him. Oh, he's not dead. He's now a zombie. Arr.
Wait, zombies are kind of like pirates there?
Arr. Yes.
I thought so.
Haven't you seen Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one? They had all them dark pirate zombies.
I did.
Yes. So, zombies, we'll address them first, I think are amusing as all hell in every category simply because it caters to everybody's fears about everything. I mean, you've got nuclears, you've got diseases, you've got man-made artificial thingamabobbies, you've got alien dust planets, you've got infectious parasites. Well, actually, that would be a natural one as well if a parasite ended up being that way where it was... No, wait, know what? I take it back. There is another natural zombie thing as well. It's in the Amazon.
It's the...
The fungus.
Oh, darn, I thought you were talking about the insect.
No, it's the fungus that infects the insect. It turns it into a zombie.
That's right, that's exactly... You know what? Nat, you mentioned the... That's right.
And there are something like they say about 10,000 different varieties of this fungus, which will infect different things. Not all of them affect everything. I mean, this one fungus here infects army ants. This one fungus here infects grasshoppers. This one fungus here infects some other insect of the countless millions of different types of insects that they have in the Amazon jungle.
You know what? I think there is one natural that could get you a zombie state. And, a lot of people don't think of it because...
What, sleep?
No. Pharmaceutical.
Ah, but that falls into the next category of man-made.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking that could be natural, but I can understand that too.
Because
yeah.
With man-made... Well, I guess we're just going to go willy-nilly all over these categories, aren't we?
Just about.
Holy jeeber-jums. Okay, so staying as though we're sticking with zombies, we'll filter zombies with all of the different concept type things. So, you can have a disease, one created by man, or one natural.
Okay, natural disease. You ready?
Yeah.
Porphyria.
I've heard of it. Isn't that the vampire one, though?
It is considered a vampire disease because it does require them drinking of blood. But then again, what is it that the zombies hunger for?
Flesh.
And what do you get when you go into the flesh?
Squirty, splattery goodness.
Exactly. So there's possibility of that. There's lycanthropy, which does give insatiable hungers.
However, lycanthropy in and of itself is a supernatural event because it's usually tied into a belief or disbelief system that says, oh, you pissed off somebody.
Oh, well, that's just because they don't understand. But if you kind of go back with some history on it, you think about the old Barnum and Bailey circuses. If you remember the bearded lady?
Yes, she was very nice to me. She gave me a cookie.
I remember her giving you that cookie too. You're still chomping on it. She actually, anytime you went to those circuses and you saw these bearded ladies, a lot of them actually did suffer from lycanthropy.
Well, they suffered from something. I wouldn't call it lycanthropy. I would definitely call it a hirsute inclination or tendency, or a genetic predisposition towards excessive hair.
Yeah, early shaving, who knows?
Yeah, or as Jack mentioned but didn't quite get to, he called it furriness. I'm going to call it fuzzies.
There you go.
Or as the entire group of people who go to the cons or whatever, furries!
Oh, let's not go there.
We're not going there. Gus, that's just what it is. So, another man-made format for zombies is nanotech.
Ah, yes. And it's man-made though. This particular one is actually becoming more and more of a probability for the fact that science is, and you know, the medical field is actually trying to reach into this and use this field as a more safer way to operate on people.
Yep. And the original idea being behind nanite technology is that if you could create a couple thousand nanite little tiny little robot things, throw them in somebody's body, something breaks, oh hey, the little robots go overflow there, pff, fix it all. What happens if they go terribly, terribly wrong and they don't fix, but they continue to break, or they stimulate the body's insatiable need for hunger and like all sorts of other stuff?
Well, what about, with those working inside of you, we know about viruses, computer viruses. What if the computer virus was able to reprogram people as well?
Exactly. Or what if the nanite computer program, because they're communicating with each other, what if they attack, kill the brain, all of the functions of the upper brain, brain functions, and just retain motor control?
Yep. That's true, too.
And it's funny, because I've actually read a book about that one. I can't remember the guy's name, but it was like I read it about 5, 6, 7 years ago. It was my first book that I ever got from Permuted Press. AZ Zombie, AKG Zombie, something like that. It's a good book. The idea was interesting. But it was also the idea about technology going awry. Hey, let's take over the people and turn people into zombies.
Right.
It was fun. So, what other types of man-made? Well, I think most of the zombie creation formats are going to be man-made.
I remember we did an article on a paranormal when we were talking about it with the possibilities and how it was actual possible. And so far, you've named every one of them. The only one that they did talk about that wouldn't be a man-made would have been bacterial.
I was going to get to that one. I was actually going to use microbiological agent, but I wasn't using that as a zombie derivative. That's a different end of the world thing that I was going to talk about because I like that one.
Yeah, that we saved the good stuff for last, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So the other man-made items I was going to go with would be super disease, which man-made disease gets out of control, kills everyone, and then nuclear decay / explosion / mutational effect. Where, okay, atomic bombs drop, bam, 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 society's destroyed, but guess what? Monsters are created from the ashes because they just got no better idea what's going on.
Well, I mean, it's not uncommon to hear about the radiation poisoning and how it affects people, animals, and so forth. So, yeah, that's very probable.
Yep. And under third category, supernatural, my favorite one is God got pissed.
I love that one.
Yep. So it's just basically like, you know what? Time to clean slate. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that one. Let's let the zombies out. They'll just wipe the world clean. Yep. Yeah, yeah. And then there's not really much in the way of supernatural because it's usually, well, once you get into that category, it's like, I got to stop saying it's like. Once you get into that category, it is very, it's very generic because it's all about, oh, no more room in hell, therefore all the zombies came back, or something like that. Supernatural really only means the one thing when you talk about zombies. It's the switch was turned off and let they go.
Somebody just opened the floodgates and said, feed away.
Yep. So my other favorite extraplanetary category was exemplified in the movie Night of the Living Dead. They don't really talk about it much, but that was supposed to be the origin agent for the zombies, was a dust cloud. An alien cosmic dust cloud.
Oh, there's been a lot of looking to the sky as of late, with a lot of activity that people can't explain.
I can explain it.
Oh?
Yep. I'm not going to, but I can.
Oh, okay. Well, see, here's another thought if you're going into the supernatural, but see, this wouldn't be man-made, but it would be man's fault. With us venturing off into space to gather alien rocks.
Ooh, Killdozer. I saw that movie.
I wasn't going to go there, but actually I was going to kind of go with Spider-Man and the symbiosis, but...
Oh, okay, fine. Go with like a Venom.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking. If we're going to go supernatural, we got to go farther out than just, you know, killer machinery.
Killer bulldozers. Well, Maximum Overdrive was the same idea. Alien, parasite, zombie. Oh, wait, machines. So yes, that was another extraplanetary event that I was going to call aliens or alien parasites or alien infections. Read a story. Oh, he's going to hurt me because I don't remember his name right now.
It's all his fault. He didn't share notes.
No, he did share notes. I've met the guy. Snell, D.L. Snell, has a story about... You'd probably like it, actually. It's about vampires and zombies, and the vampires are raising humans as farms to keep the vampire nation going, but zombies have infected most of the something the roses. I'm going to Google it while I'm talking. But
Let me guess. The zombies are infecting the farm in a sense.
No, the zombies basically have screwed up the entire world. Roses of Blood on Barbed Wire Vines. That's it. By D.L. Snell. So, the small amount of vampires remain in the world that are still trying to survive as vampires. Zombies have infected the planet, there's apocalypse, everybody's dead, blah, 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 and there's just a few living humans left alive. So the vampires are trying to gather what few they can gather. And by the way, Jack has mentioned one of my favorite movies, Life Force, in the chat room. So they're trying to collect most of the humans that they can still to continue keeping enough blood left for them to continue living. And it builds that whole Stockholm Syndrome thing about the humans rely on the vampires to keep them alive, but in the same vein, what kind of life is that? It's a good story. It's worth reading.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like it. It's got some interesting twists to it, and I might actually have to go looking for that.
I think you should. I have the book. I've read it.
Yeah, definitely going to have to look for that.
So I think that pretty much covers the main genre of horror and apocalypses and the end of the world via zombies.
There we go.
Let me think if I can remember any other kind of zombie variations. Oh yeah, I liked... Oh, hey. Hellion joined the chat room today. Woohoo! I like calling him Hick. Hick! I just think it's funny. Ooh, what about medieval zombies? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, here's another one that's called... Really doesn't fit into any of the four, either. Time travel.
Ooh.
So what happens if your mind travels farther away from you, like, say, in time, and your body's left behind, but your body has become an insatiable monster, eating and feeding and wanting to feed more? Aha. I don't know where I'm going to fit time travel into that list.
But I'm still trying to figure out what happens with the mind if the mind's so far ahead.
Well, if you go into pure energy mode, say that the mind within that body has decided, it's like, you know what? Forget this crap. I'm out of this shell. Body is just a shell. It just houses that ka or chi or soul or whatever you want to label, call it, that personality, individuality, person, thing, whatever they want to call inside that headspace. It's just decided, it's like, I'm done. Move on and move into another realm of being while the body is still, technically the heart's still ticking, maybe. Maybe it stops. Maybe then goes and says, okay, click over to the next rule. And something else comes in. Oh, yeah, that would be supernatural.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah, demons. Yeah, like demons. Demons is fun.
Okay.
So, yes, that is the end of zombies for the end of the world now.
Sweet. So, now we go back to natural?
Now we go back to natural.
I think I know, like, the number one natural thing, and a lot of people are paying attention to it.
Dinosaurs?
No.
No. That's what I put down as number one, dinosaurs.
I would actually have gone with the weather. Hurricanes, tornadoes, you know.
Oh, okay. So you want to go with that kind of natural. Okay.
Well, when you said natural,
I'm joking, of course.
If you really want to go with the scariest thing, just an extremely fat person running down the street, that would probably kill a lot of naked, too.
But
that would kill a lot of people.
Ew. Actually, I was going to say number one would have been an unfound disease or a plague.
Okay. That could be number one because, I mean, the devastation, the natural devastations couldn't spread or do as much damage to the world as a plague or something like that. So, yes,
well,
you're right.
If we were going into that route, I have one for that too. But if we're just talking about the end of human life, I'd be saying that the most likely probable case that could be made for the end of human life on this planet as we know it would be the uncracking of Pandora's box of finding, hey, let's go into the Amazon forest. Oh, look at this little thing. Wait, that just killed everybody. That just killed everybody in the country. Oh, wait, that just killed everybody.
Yeah.
Because
I wouldn't be surprised Pandora's box, if ever found, is really a plague that is just uncurable, something that they just never experienced yet.
I think that is the name of a story as well, that is precisely what it's about, is the Pandora's box, opening the Pandora's box and finding, oh, look, that just killed everybody.
Huh. Yep.
Yep. So that's one of my number one. I think that's most likely the way that the world will end. Not with a whimper, not with a bang, not with a... More like a, excuse me, can I have...
Yeah. I want a cook.
Exactly.
Was he asking for a cookie?
I was. Usually. I have some right there. But to get back to the physical, natural element type things, there is a way that nature could basically say, screw you, the whole planet, go bye-bye. And that would be a catastrophic tectonic plate movement.
Yeah.
So if one plate decided to go down too fast, too quick, and the other one decided to go up too fast, too quick, we have a super volcano. Surprisingly, funnily enough, kind of wrongly done in the movie 2012.
Okay, anyway, recognize that from somewhere.
Yeah, it's Woody Harrelson saying, ah, smashed by the super volcano. It's like, dudes, no.
That was the best part of the movie.
It was a great scene. The thing that killed me, though, was the plane flying through the cloud ash. Oh, it falls back into the cloud ash, and then it comes zooming back out. I'm sorry. As soon as that plane touched ash, it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
You get any amount of that volcanic ash inside those air scoops in the engines, that thing just goes, seizes up, and that thing is going to fall.
That was one of the issues with Mount St. Helens when it exploded.
Yep.
A lot of people trying to escape. The ash got just basically shut down engines.
Yeah, because it's not like smoke. It's not like dust. It's like metal filings. If you ever work with metal shavings, sorry, not shavings, but if you're ever drilling metal or whatever and you have a bunch of that metal dust on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
Pick that crap up. Throw it at something. It hurts.
Yep.
Because it's not just fluffy, airy type stuff. It's still metal. It's all still there. That's what the volcanic ash is. It's basically ground up dirt or stone.
Exactly.
By the way, I like Dante's Peak as far as a volcano catastrophe movie. That actually came much closer to showing a full-on volcanic eruption going on than 2012 did. 2012 was so bad. It was bad. It hurt me when I watched that movie. When John Cusack is racing that limousine through the city, and it's like, oh, get over that one. Oh, get over that one. Oh, get past that. It's like, no, man. No.
Well, I kind of still laugh at the end of it because they think that the way to survive is arcs.
Arcs would survive somewhat. But if the world was ripping itself apart, it wouldn't matter where you are on the planet. The whole planet's going to go shudder, 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 crack.
Yep.
And if it goes shudder, 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 crack, guess what? The entire ecosystem, the whole biosphere goes blah, blah. All the oxygen bleeds off into space. All of the water liquefies and goes into sparkly little ice meteors and stuff. Everything dies.
I think here's your number one natural disaster, or natural thing.
Dinosaurs.
No. Ozone.
It's not as bad as it used to be, surprisingly enough. They've been measuring and clocking that the hole over the Antarctic has actually been getting smaller.
Yeah,
which
but
is
I
a good
mean,
thing.
Eventually, I mean, people are going to slack up, and it's going to turn around. Yeah. Ozone depletes, Earth's just going to poof into a big ball of flame.
Well, that would combine very segue coolness, clean, to one of my extraplanetary points. Okay. And that would be solar flares.
Ooh, good one.
Solar flare, or even basically, if we wanted to really go to it, supernova, nova, whatever nova version level that you want to go. If the sun blows up like that, it's like, okay, we're all toast. But the solar flares have been getting worse over the last couple of years. We've still been. The ozone layer has been taking care of it, but there's still potential there for a couple of different things. If the solar flare were to get so large, and if you've seen some of these solar flares,
yep.
They're big.
Yeah, they're not getting small.
No. And if the sun decides to go, let's erupt some plasma off the surface of the sun and goes, push. That's not the kind of thing that we really want to come here too much.
True. And then if the sun collapses, so does the rest of the...
the galaxy. Well, not the galaxy, the solar system.
Solar system. There we go.
However, woohoo, now you're going to get into the sci-fi spacey stuff. If three different other elements, three different type of scenarios. One, if a black hole were to... And this is also, by the way, tied into a man-made thing as well. If a black hole were to mysteriously develop near the sun, near the Earth, whatever, the whole dynamic of the gravity and the solar radiation and everything goes going pow.
Mm.
Second element, what we call a wanderer. Hey, look at that comet coming by. Swoosh. Now, there could be many different ways that it does, is it burns off a good size of the atmosphere or the ozone. All life escapes out into space. Meteor, or the comet again, or even a moon, because that's what some scientists like to think that our moon really is that it was a wanderer. Or some elements of the asteroid belt. Hey, I'm getting loose, I'm getting funky, swing on by and go bam. You know, or hit something else and go bam, and that goes bam. Say an asteroid goes and hits and smashes into the moon and cracks it in half. And oh, guess what? Part of it falls to Earth. Because why? Earth's gravitational pull pulls it in.
Right.
Now, that could survive because it's not coming in at a speed that's going to go smashy, smashy, smash, smash. It just might make a very uncomfortable world.
Well, we do know that the Earth has been impacted by meteors in the past.
All the time.
Right. So the odds on a big one finally coming, that's not improbable.
Yep. And if you look at the surface of the moon, look at the size of that one big-ass crater up there. That wasn't created by anything random. That was created by an asteroid or a meteor.
If you remember, just recently we also talked about... that one that impacted the moon so intense that was able to be seen here.
Yep. So, and not to mention the a couple years ago, the flyby crash into Saturn or Jupiter. I can't remember which one. It was one of the moons.
Mm-hmm.
They went smash, 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 seven of them or something like this.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Can't remember which one, but it was pretty spectacular. They could see that with regular telescopes, not needing the radio telescopes and stuff to see and stuff. But, so the man-made option here is things like, oh, I don't know, Hadron's Collider? Ooh, guess what? What if that thing made a black hole?
This is true. You know, I've wondered about that because of what it supposedly can do.
Yeah. So it's creating the ability to look at God particle, or what they want to call God particles or whatever. And if it actually creates this kind of thing that's basically part of the building blocks of the universe, and it becomes unstable, what effect will that have? Now, I know that they've put a lot of science into this, and it's, there's also that meteor that hit Russia in February that Helene just mentioned. The particle, if it becomes unstable, what effect could it do? It could create a mini black hole, which is the worst. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, it was Hale Bopp. Okay. The instability of that could be such that it could create anything, theoretically. They can't predict it too much because the science is too big so far. They can't really say if they did, what would happen. Now, there's a lot of safe science that goes into it. It says, yeah, we're not pushing this button until we're sure it's going to create that. This thing here, the 30-degree thing, not the 3 million degree thing. 30-degree, that thing. But hey, say somebody has a bad day and they switch that dial up to 11, right?
Yeah.
Could happen.
What about, okay, going back to natural disaster for a moment.
Ruh-roh, dinosaurs.
We've talked about like some of the weather. Mm-hmm. What if the perfect storm set off just the right damage to wipe out, you know, let's say a giant hurricane, in a sense, coming towards the U.S., that also could set off a tsunami to wipe out the other side?
Well, a tsunami in and of itself can only go so far.
Mm.
The tsunami it doesn't start with an airborne event. It always starts with a groundborne event. And the reason why it becomes a tsunami is because the wave gets bigger.
Right.
So it's like it's usually created by an earthquake in the sea, in the ocean. There are, though, weather combinations. If, say, for example, the Amazon forest burned to the ground, like all of it.
Mm.
If the entire Amazon forest burned to the ground, total crisp char. Ooh, by the way, Rain of Fire, good movie. wait, that would be a natural one, too, because they were just creatures. Yeah. They were dinosaurs. Moving on.
Back on the dinosaurs.
I like dinosaurs.
Jurassic Park all over again.
I like dinosaurs. Well, what if? Okay, and that's a man-made one, too. What if they find the little dinosaur pieces in the amber and build them, and they just become prolific? Dinosaurs! Destroy the world.
Okay, well, wait. Now, we know that scientist already has blood that they're going to try to clone a woolly mammoth.
Yes.
So, you know, your dinosaur theory could come to life there.
My most extreme and odd element that I've got here is going to be the last one I want to talk about, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. But back to your weather pattern thing. It is theoretically possible that if you had enough combination of that weather pattern, that weather pattern, that weather pattern, and that weather pattern all of a sudden happen, you could eliminate a lot of things. The movie The Day... what the hell was the movie?
Go ahead. Is that the one where they were talking about the severe freeze moving down?
Yes.
And then a huge wave coming into New York?
Yes.
Yeah.
Day of tomorrow?
Day after.
Day after tomorrow. Okay. So, it could work like that, but it wouldn't happen that quickly. it's very possible that the entire jet stream could just suddenly lose temperature, but it would take a period of like a couple years or whatever, and you'd have a sudden ice age happen.
Right.
You wouldn't have a, oh yeah, everything just super freezes. Like, no. That's why we've got these things called the ozone and the water and the tropics and everything else like that. Wouldn't happen like that. No, I don't think so. No. However, combination of superstorms, tornadoes, those are vicious. But all they're going to do is take the ground cover off. That's it. Hurricanes, a lot of water. Basically, that's it. Flooding, that sort of thing. If the polar actually ties back into solar flares, if the polar ice caps were to melt for whatever reason, because the temperature on the planet got high enough that it could and would, then you'd have melting throughout most of the planet. So 78% of the world is currently covered by water. It would, if I remember correctly, go up to 92% or whatever of the planet would be covered in water. And then the only things remaining would be big-ass rocks, which basically were mountains.
True.
So then if you people were to... But it wouldn't happen instantaneously. That would take a long period of time. And in that time period, people would be able to find ways to dig in, ground, build on the water, build under the water, etc.
No, not another Waterworld. Please, no.
There were some parts of Waterworld which I enjoyed, and then there were some parts of Waterworld that were just like, that's just stupid.
Uh-huh.
But whatever. It was just one of those movies. $200 million to make a movie. Oh, that's just a drop in the bucket now. Who cares? So, I don't think weather will be enough to destroy the world or destroy society or civilization. It'll just destroy parts of it.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just not going to be enough.
A zombie tornado, though, as TJ says. Oh, hey, TJ. A zombie tornado, on the other hand, that would just be, oh, you're all dead.
See, going to the zombies, if we had zombies like World War Z.
Oh, God, I don't know about that one. I am going to do the whole wait until I see it, until I actually form an opinion, good or bad, but I'm looking at it thinking, oh, man, Hollywood, you did it again. You really ruined that.
But that's you just wait until they get sparkly vampires. Sparkly zombies.
They kind of have sparkly zombies. And I was actually talking to somebody earlier about a idea for a story, and I was like, no, I don't want to hear this anymore because it's sparkly. Yeah, but that's why it's funny. He's like, no, stop, I'm walking away. And I walked away.
Okay, what about Warm Bodies?
I liked that movie. It was funny.
Oh, okay.
They had sparkly zombies, I know.
I was trying.
But it was a fun movie. It was not really zombie canon, because you can't come back from the dead. Come on, seriously.
I'm just not going there. They've already destroyed vampires with this whole sparkly stuff, so.
Precisely. Next thing you know, they'll be having sparkly werewolves. Oh my God, let's go douse everybody's hair. Stupid, weird stuff like this. I don't want to know about it. Okay. Going back to natural. Most of the natural stuff is pretty simple and straightforward. It's some kind of disease, some kind of big-ass killer monster creature people. It could happen.
The new Godzilla.
Pacific Rim. But Pacific Rim actually has a supernatural element to it as well.
Yeah.
It's a very Lovecraftian type story, because it's basically the another parallel existence universe, however they wanted to go into it, is trying to crack into this one, and there's the monsters that are coming out. Yeah. But that is actually one of my supernatural points. The Elder Gods got bored, so they decided to break open the seams between the universes and say, hey, let's play with this one for a bit and see what goes.
You've just been dying to scream, release a Kraken.
No. Not in the least. I didn't even think of a Kraken until now. But if we're going to stick with supernatural, we can go with the breaking of the seven seals as well.
Now, that's not totally supernatural, because if you go biblically, it does describe that the world will end in fire.
Yep, but the Bible is technically supernature. Anything that deals with the religious overtones of stuff.
Oh, okay.
From my point of view, from definition, that's the supernatural.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah.
But still, it could happen. For those of us or those of them and those people and these people and everybody else who is not necessarily a believer of one sort or another, that would be a possibility, and it would just be like, oh my God, now what the hell? Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Everybody's going to hell. Right, Hellion? Arr!
It's a zombie pirate.
Yes. So that's pretty much supernatural. Supernatural was easy. It's a very simple, small category. God gets pissed. Elder gods get bored. Something along the seven seals. Yeah.
I think I'd have to go with you on one of them, you know, because I'm thinking like bubonic plague and all that. They're just the possibilities are so ripe still right now.
Yeah, I think for the most likely possibility to me, it's going to be a disease of some sort, whether it's man-made or it's found natural and just unleashed. I think it's more likely it's going to be man-made, simply because you can't trust those people in government, man. They're snaky.
Sweet. Yeah, okay. You mentioned government, and I'm just...
CDC, baby. They got the strongest, most virulent solution of smallpox in the world. There is enough biological, chemical material stored in the CDC to kill the planet seven times over.
But there's one cure they do not have.
They do. They just don't want to let people know about it.
The bubonic plague?
Yes.
They don't have the cure for that.
They do. They just don't want to let people know that.
Oh, okay. Because there's enough rats in this world.
Yes. And rats were the bubonic plague wasn't the rats. That was the black plague.
Oh, the black plague. You know what?
Bubonic plague was that's Russia, isn't it?
Now I'm gonna have to look it up.
Oh, now I'm gonna have to look it up too. Who sees it first? Dun 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 dun. Where's the music? Dun 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 dun.
Speaking of music,
yeah, roll that.
Let's roll that beautiful bean footage.
Patriotic slam button, that right. It's the end of the world as we It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
I feel fine. How do you feel?
With my fingers.
Okay, that's good. By the way, the bubonic plague still had a reported case in 2012.
Yes.
In Colorado.
Both the bubonic plague and black plague or Black Death were the same plague, believe it or not.
Yes. Well, the Black Death was just the name, yeah.
Yeah, and it originated out of China, peeking into Europe. And what really gets me is in a two-year period, it killed between 75 million to 200 million people.
Yeah.
Now, you question that because that's a huge number. My first thought was, damn, that had to reduce the population of the world at that time, to at least half or something. But according to some information I did find, it did reduce the world population from an estimated 450 million to 350 million.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of killing.
That is a lot of death.
Now, mind you, that's estimated because back then, record keeping, not the biggest thing that people did back then.
Wasn't so popular then.
not the big thing that people were into. But yes, so that's kind of why I think that most likely, if there's going to be a thing that does it, it's going to be one of them.
Yeah.
But we've got a couple more man-made ones.
Okay.
Robots!
Good one.
Skynet's coming to get you.
Yep. Yeah, we just talked about that Friday.
You did?
Yeah, you weren't listening to Paranormal?
I was. Oh, I remember part of that. Yeah. Okay. What, do you think I remember everything I hear? I hear lots of stuff all the time.
You're a zombie.
I have information coming at me all day long.
You're a zombie.
Yes.
You're not supposed to forget.
What are you talking about? Zombies? I told you, the stuff in the brain pan is the stuff that goes first.
Yeah, eyes. So the first thing that you're eating.
That's why we eat more brains, to get more back.
There you go. You're a zombie. You can't forget.
Okay, fine. Be that way. But I'm going to share with... Oh, and then we did nuclears. So bombs, radiation, killing everything, blah, 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 blah. My favorite end-of-the-world scenario is something that actually exists.
Uh-oh.
It's a microbiological agent. I have to remember what the name of it was. I'm going to do this quick Google search because I couldn't remember what the name was. Come on. Okay, I can't remember. I can't find the name. But it was a plastics-eating biological organism.
So eating plastic?
Yes. The whole purpose of it was to create a... an enzyme so that when they have a oil spill in the ocean, they dump the enzyme into it and it just breaks up the oil into harmless material.
Didn't he invent that?
Sorry?
British Petroleum. Didn't they? Yes. Aren't they the ones that invented that?
Yeah, well, they're also the ones that also have Exxon Valdez. That's them. That was them. BP is the biggest oil producer in the world. So they started coming up with an idea. It's like, oh, hey, we have a thing. Let's find a way to clean it up cheap so that we don't get all that negative press. So they came up with this enzyme. And it works. But it eats plastics because that's what oil is. Well, it's oil. It beats oil. And everything in the world that we use in our society relies on some kind of oil-based product. Plastics, computers, remote controls, televisions, cleaning machines, cooking machines, refrigerators, cartons.
Refrigerators.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my fridge.
Is your refrigerator running?
Yes.
You better catch it.
I caught it a long time ago. It's been staked down quite a bit.
Ah, okay.
It's what holds my cookies.
Sweet! Now I know where they are.
Yeah. You can't get in them, but they're there.
Darn. I'm good at raiding fridges for cookies, so
okay. I'll
find a way.
Good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. It's on my list.
Okay, so I've gone through all of the man-made scenarios that I had. I've gone through all the natural scenarios I had. I've gone through all the supernatural scenarios I had. The extraplanetary has two more, one of which we've touched on briefly, aliens.
Yeah.
And parasites being the zombie variation therein, or aliens. Oh, guess what? The alien armada came by, and they've decided they needed to clear waste for a intergalactic space lane. Sorry, Earth, you gotta go.
There you go. That's it.
That's one of my favorites.
That's the answer.
Yep. Then my second favorite, which is probably the oddest one that most people are not going to be able to grok well enough. A shift in the gravitational axis of the galaxy.
Okay, for a shift to happen...
It's a big science thing.
Yeah, but that would mean at least one galaxy would have to collapse.
No, it would mean that... You know how the planet has an axle? It has an axis, it has a gravitational spin, it has a, this is how we spin along this alignment, right?
Right, yeah.
The galaxy has one too. So does the solar system. So does the universe theoretically have an axis upon which it spins and it rotates and it takes billions of years to make one turn, whatever, whatever, whatever. But the galaxy, if you were to, and in the same vein as if the planet, if you were to shift... Oh, by the way, we forgot one more natural one. If you were to shift that axis a little bit, all of the planet would be disrupted. You know, it would change weather patterns, change tectonics, change density of chemical compositions on the surface versus underneath. Things would spin at different pattern. It would change. If the galaxy were to shift its axis just a fraction... Some planets, some systems, some suns, some collection of cosmic bodies could just spin out of control and go bye-bye.
Yeah, I was thinking of that. You know, with the Earth spinning the way it is, if somebody just came along, you know, like stopping a globe.
Yeah.
Everybody would just...
And the whole thing of physics is, if you have something that's spinning, going run, and you take something else and you throw it at that, and now... It shifts, it's moved, its spin slows down or speeds up, or there's a big-ass divot in the middle of it now, and it's completely changed its wibbly-wobbly time, or whatever the expression goes for Doctor Who right now.
I just saw that episode, too.
I haven't seen it yet. I just keep seeing the references to it all the time. It's like, damn it, I haven't seen this yet. But if you take a top, and if it's a soft... spinning top and goes around and around and around, and if you shoot a 22 at it, go ping, you dramatically shift the top's centripetal force, how it spins, how fast it spins, how well it spins. Now it wobbles more because now there's a big hole in the side of it and it can't fill that. So the galaxy could shift, but the reality is we probably will never see that in our lifetime, but realistically speaking, it could happen.
I'm thinking our axes would shift before that would happen.
That was the natural thing that I forgot to mention earlier, is that those big-headed people that they, say that the Earth changes its polarity regularly every 10,000 years, and that we're due for that to happen soon.
Yeah, I do remember reading that.
But they've been saying that for the last, I think, 15 years now or so. So that what'll happen is that the north and south, the positive-negative alignments of the planet will just say, hey, let's switch it up, ping.
Well, I was reading something where they were talking about the axis shifting about a good 2% right now. And if it shifts like another 2 or 2 to 5%, we would see some dramatic changes in temperatures and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Some, like, making Texas as hot as the Sahara Desert.
Or the opposite.
Or the opposite, exactly.
Because I can tell you from what I've seen in the last couple of years, wintertime up here in Toronto, which we used to get solid snow all winter long,
mm-hmm.
Nope. This winter was the first time we had solid snow.
You know what the answer is? And it's not dinosaurs.
It's La Nina.
No. It's man.
Yes.
As we expand out, more and more concrete, more and more buildings, and less trees, and less grass, and the things that will shade us and keep our temperatures down are depleting. And the things that are holding heat in, again, is asphalt, concrete, buildings. And so we're increasing the temperature by doing that.
And also increasing the temperature in the air, because all of these surfaces we create reflect heat off.
Bingo. Exactly. See, if you ever listen to the weatherman who talks during the wintertime and says when there is no clouds, we have what's called radiational cooling. That means, the clouds work like a blanket and they keep the heat in. When there's no clouds, that heat's able to rise up and out.
Bioremediation.
Bingo.
That was what I was remembering this called. That's the thing that eats, that's the bacteria that feeds on hydrocarbons.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, Texas isn't, well, I don't know, 116 degree temperatures a couple of years ago.
Okay. Does Texas get very cold at night?
No.
Then it's not like the Sahara yet.
That's a good point, then.
The Sahara freezes at night.
Isn't it? No, the Sahara is not along the equator.
No, it's just north of the equator.
Right.
Sahara is like, what? 30 points above the Sahara?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a sec. Now I'm curious.
I'm thinking it's about the same distance as, or maybe a little closer than Texas is to the equator.
It is 20 degrees north. Okay. I love the internet. Internet's cool.
That could be the end of the world right there.
What, the internet?
Taking away all our luxuries such as television and internet and cable and all that wonderful stuff, people wouldn't know what to do.
You know what?
Boredom.
Texas is more north of the equator than the Sahara is.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
31 degrees north.
Texas is 31 degrees north?
Texas is 31 degrees north.
There you go.
The Sahara Desert is 20 degrees north.
And look at the time.
Yes. I just want to say, everybody, thanks for coming by and having fun with us as we talk about the end of the world. Because, you know, it's the end of the world, and I feel hungry.
Yes, I shall taste on the victims first, and then you can have their brains after.
Oh, I'm getting the whole out of it, the whole body. I go for the whole meal deal.
Vampires are on liquid diets.
That's fine.
That's what it should. There you go. That's the next book I'm going to do on vampires, liquid diets.
There you go. I'm going to smoothie them up, put them in the blender. Will they blend? Yes, they will.
Mmm, tasty.
Yes.
Zombie smoothies.
Yes!
What's next?
Oh, hey, you know what's up next? You're up next with mental can... No, you're up next with free pie!
Free pie, and I've got a special guest tonight. We're going to be talking about how to kind of see the silver lining, I hope, in a sense, when things are going bad.
And after that, it's Mental Candy with Joan.
We're all about food tonight, aren't we?
We're all about food always, because it's Wednesday. Wednesday is food day. Oh, I think that's my new motto. Wednesday is food day.
Yay. Oh. Shall I roll that wonderful bean footage?
Roll it!
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their fill.